You know, it's crazy, like, you know, Tin Can Phone, it started in prison, you know, and when we came home, they kept, like, our first interviews and all of our first content in bondage. We had to start over, you know what I'm saying? We lost our mom and we lost Joe, but we gained Blue, Tin Can Phone.
Did that time and I bounced back. Had us in the beanies, now snap back. Boys in blue trying to snap back. Trying to make sure that my guys never go back. Ain't worried about the instas and the Snapchats. I'm worried about the homies on drugs. Close to really fast. It's messed up when you know the dealer and the buyer. Look him in his eyes, I can tell if he lying. Been locked up with gorillas in the lines. Yeah, respect it, get you far and don't move around blind. Forget about the chow hall, I ain't waiting in line. Bust down on the bed, spread with the homies. Not no more, we on the streets waiting for him. Free such and such, free with you out. We all on cable talking it out. Me, Mike, and Blue and a couple of guests. Poppin' knowledge like petrol, who got the gas? Blue went to work, tryna heal for my past. Politicking on the yard, tryna touch me a bag. Mike was on the yard with the hitters and the sav. Orange beanie on his head with the thing in the bag. Blue photo shoot fresh, sharp enough to cut a wrist. First day of school, coolin' ain't with the cuddling. Tin can phone, yes, gang in the bitch. Tin can phone, yes, gang in the bitch. Tin can phone, yes, gang in the bitch. Mike, Blue, Queens, Tin can phone, gang in this motherfucker.
What is happening? Misfit Audi, Tin Can Phone, Season 2, minus a couple homies, but Michael Bernard Stevenson Jr., the artist, what's happening?
Squeeze, well, I definitely missed getting the intro in my life, so super glad to get that. Thanks for welcoming, and I guess I will also welcome, depending on what iteration of Tin Can Phone you've heard in the past, you may or may not have met Blue, our new co-anchor host, and welcome all of us and listener to season 2, episode 1.
Doing it.
Welcome back.
Blue was having it. Hey, look, that he wasn't a co-host. Listen, he wasn't a co-host, but Blue has always been not only a supporter, but, you know, he, in the background, like, Blue been helping build Tin Can Phone and build the personality and exposure. And, you know, the Blue Gallery, shouts out to the Blue Gallery that stay at work. You feel me? They stay putting in that work in the community. He allowed us to hold space in the gallery. And Tin Can Phone has always, the gallery has always been like, you know, that second home, that auntie that, you know, when you run away, you go to your auntie house, or when you, you know, you always got that auntie or that uncle, you could, you know, chill on their couch and shit. That's what Blue Gallery always been for Tin Can Phone. So Blue, what's happening?
What's up, Queez, Michael? It's good to see you. It's good to be back on Tin Can Phone. I always love being a part of this. And, you know, it's nice to be brought even further into the fold. You guys helped to amplify, you know, things that I felt were important in the last season, you know, helping to get my voice out there, which I think is important for all of us, you know, to be heard and to share what's important to us and what's on our minds and how things are going or how things are going in the world. So I'm really glad to be here. Life is crazy and this is going to be cool.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always considered Gallery Blue and Tin Can Phone to be, I don't know, friend projects.
Yeah.
I guess I'm friends with the people, but the two projects have a symbiotic relationship. So it's exciting for them to coalesce. And in this moment, reactivating Tin Can Phone, I think a lot of us have had life changes, but we can, should we start with our lives or the life of Tin Can Phone?
Most definitely the life of Tin Can Phone. And yeah, you know,
the life of Tin Can Phone. Well, we're in season 2. Since, if you're listening and you're following along, since you last heard, we finally after, and then we've taken like a hiatus between this moment, Thursday, February 3rd is recording. Hopefully you're listening to this more near in the future, but we've taken a major hiatus from end of season 1 to this moment. And in that time, there's been life changes, but also in that time, you know, Tin Can Phone was able to secure another grant. I guess in between that time, we've had a track record of having semi-significant investments in this project happening, but we secured a $7,000-ish grant to support the development of this project.
Yeah.
Woo for that. And yeah, we've got another line in the water that seems hopeful. So I guess, yeah, part of we're all catching up and now I'm catching you up. I like am semi under the impression we got it. I'm not sure, right? But I was emailing the guy. We'll do a name drop when it happens, question mark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to figure out how to spend the money, because we're also up against a deadline on that. So we're trying to spend this money before we get this new money. And I asked the money guy, I said, like, when are we going to find out when we know about the money? Because then when we know about the money, we can figure out how we want to spend the other money. And he was like, well, when you spend money, we should be able to reimburse you in a week. And I was like, that's cool. When will I know if we have money? And then he was like, yeah, February 8th. So that's in the near future. But it made it seem like we already had money. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. Right?
Seems like that.
So Tin Can Phone.
Don't count your chickens, though.
Don't count your chickens before they lay their eggs. So we're just doing the first money. And now we're doing an unboxing. We also have maybe video, which was paid for with this money. Hopefully this works. Fingers crossed. You can see us, but for those of you who are not seeing us,
here it is,
audio. But so this is you unbox. This is you. This is you getting the package. Queez is.
I'm getting this. You're getting this for me.
This is for you,
man.
Come on.
Money.
Check this out.
Money.
Welcome to the family.
Special has my name right on it.
Blue. A blue. Microphone. I can
take out everything, but
you don't have to take it all out.
But this has to come out. The blue microphone. I love it.
Got the blue microphone.
We're in business, Tin Can Phone.
We got an extra microphone because we want to have guests this season, which is a major enhancement on the last season. So
No. Guests. We don't want to have guests. We got guests this season.
We got guests.
Come on. We got guests this
season. That'll be our next segment is who's our guest is.
And paying
them. We're paying them. Blue, you got
your... Listen, don't disclose... Blue. Don't disclose the money.
Blue headphones.
There they are. These are blue as well.
Blues.
There they are.
Don't disclose the amount we are paying our guests.
We will not.
Hey, money.
50 cent. 50 yeah. cent.
You remember what it was like on day one?
Yeah.
What $100 meant?
Sure. And it's interesting, Blue, you have been with us since day one. I don't know if it came up, but you were on the first recording of episode one. So we got our headphones. Blue's sporting. If you're on the video function, if this is working, Blue's sporting. Our Queez is sporting the brand new Thank You Metro. This was the Metro Community Placemaking grant that supported Tin Can Phone. And now we are rocking. We got full gear. It's so fresh that we don't even have this while recording episode one. We are symbolically receiving it. And so
I feel like I'm actually receiving it.
You are, like, publicly, privately,
and symbolically.
And symbolically.
Cool.
So we are truly unboxing this moment and creating an audio experience for you listeners, man. Which is most of our
people. Oh, Blue.
I can't even hear you because I have the headphones on now. That's what I said. Blues, yeah, blues.
I couldn't see them.
Yeah, blues, blues.
Oh, man, that's sweet.
So we got the gear. We are ready. To record.
Everybody got different colors.
Everyone got different colors.
Yeah, these ain't the same ones.
I got the silvers because they were on a special deal. We got these special deal and you had to get each of the colors, but Blue's got the blues. Let's get a headphone shot. Love it. Get it? You ready? This is going in the recording, the sound of the photo sound. I love it. We got it. It's
a classic look right there.
It's a classic look, classic sound. So we got the gear. So we got the funding. We got the gear.
Yeah.
Thank you, Metro Placemaking Grant.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kirk Rea, who's our fiscal entity being who's rescued the monies from obscurity. And we got guests this season. Queez,
guests.
You want to, who do we got?
Hold on, before I say any of that, man. Yeah. Hey, shouts out Kirk, man. He secured a bag, man. Kirk is the man with the bag. So shout out Kirk, man.
Really wouldn't let that bag go. I was like, Kirk, just let that bag go.
No, nah, I don't.
That dude will work.
Hey, don't ever let the bag go, Kirk. Hey, don't ever let the bag go, man. Get the bag. We got guests this season. Ooh, we got guests. Hey, let me. I don't even know who to start with. I'm trying to the suspense, boys.
Suspense.
Listen, first and foremost, we have two. We have two anonymous guests due to their closeness to different facilities and different entities that live close to the institutions and the DOC Foundation. So We have two anonymous, but very wise, very insightful guests that's going to really shed a lot of light from, you know, our point of view is from, you know, the people that's inside the adults in custody, the ones in blue, but their perspective would be from a witness point of view, someone who's outside of our own stance and have witnessed, you know, what goes on. So we have two anonymous guests. So let's start with that. We have a young man by the name of Shannon. He go by Smirkish. You know what I'm saying? He from Sacramento, California. Really, he from Frisco. He from San Francisco, right?
Chris.
But he from Sacramento, though. You know, he's, you know, typical inner city guy, grew up without a father, mom, you know, the streets. And he's a child of the system. He's experienced the system in many different forms and different shapes that it come from juvenile to everything, you know. And he even went to prison in Oregon to the McLaren at a young age, did 6 years straight. In that time, you know, he, you know, just his journey, we'll be able to figure out what it was like. And the reason why he's so important is because he's a child. He was 17 years old when he went in with 6 years on a robbery, strong arm robbery. And I want to know, what did the system do for him as a child? What was the development? Mm-hmm. And I know what college programs they offer us and what, like, you know, arts and social and the different programs they offer us at a minimum facility prison. But right. I want to know, really, what is y'all mission plan and what is y'all, like, what do they do as far as developing these kids? I always had a question, man versus monster. You know, they say they men, but they get treated like they turn into monsters. So we get to choose, like, we get to see, like, what is their prevention from the juvenile, you know, to the adult yeah. system. And if you get caught up in juvenile, you know, what are the steps? Like, I want to see how they get treated in there. And this is a firsthand, non-biased, like, he's not a, I hate prison or prison abolitionist, or he's just a guy that went through the system, right? But now mm-hmm. he's, you know, work, take care of his family. We got my brother. We got Hef. We got three-way Hef. Hey, three-way Hef coming this season, season two, 10 can phone. SQD, you know, we got the squad in the building, and he gonna come through and talk about his 5 years in prison. And you know, he was already had an identity, and he already had a fan base and was doing his music before prison. So he already had a fan base and was doing his thing. And with most guys, once you go to prison, that could do one or two things. It can either end your career, or it could be what takes your career to the next level, depending on how you juggle parole and music and right. the industry. And because, you know, especially in our society today, 2022, you know what I mean? The internet rules everything. The internet doesn't lose. So I need to know how he waves through the internet, the streets, and the pull of the streets, plus dealing with the trauma of being in prison at a young age, because he also was a young man. But I know for a fact that he hasn't had time to heal or identify with the traumas that come with prison, because mm-hmm. in our communities, prison is normalized. Like I said in season one, the bar set so low in the hood that you get celebrated for going to prison. Right. All you got to do is not tell. As long as you don't tell, it could be a piece of shit. Just go to prison, you gonna come home, and you feel me? You cool, because you did that time. So I just want to see how he's navigated and was able to make it to, you know, he just did Rolling Loud. He just performed at the Motor Center last weekend. Wow. And he's doing his thing. So he's going to be here. We have, who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing.
There's a few folks, just the folks. I think you got Smirk and you got Hef. You got your secret guests, which we're excited about. Blue's got some guests coming in. Blue, you want to talk about who you got coming in?
Yeah, man. I got some really amazing guys. People who've done good amount of time. My friend Kirk Charlton. This guy is an amazing dude that kind of found himself in his last set. One of his things is to say, you're not a piece of shit. You know, like, you are like a person of value. That's something that he tries to instill in other people. He's an artist that's muralized all over the insides of prisons and federal prison in probably all over Oregon. And he created a program called Art Inside Out. He's going to come talk about that, which he's actually selling back to the prison. So it's about time that they give us some money back. And he's going to be teaching that in treatment programs and all sorts of different types of places. So Kirk Charlton is going to be with us. And then we got a really cool street artist that has collaborated with master artist Michael Bernard Stevenson Jr.
For you myself. Video viewers, you can see that yeah. I'm wearing a Jet Set original. Yep.
That's cool, man. And Jet, I just saw him today and we talked a little bit. He's got a new job and doing well, but has kind of like suffered some of the struggles of of that experience, that life. And he's going to share about that and what's going on for him.
Where is he working now?
I don't know his latest job. We didn't talk in depth about it. It's just getting going, but hopefully that'll be a positive.
Yeah, we'll be able to ask him about it.
Super excited for him. And just to come talk about the experience and that life. And, you know, also the struggle that it's hard. So those are some guys we got coming. Anybody else? Adam Gregg. So this guy's just a star, you know. He was working in there as a tutor. I think he did some other things, working for justice advocacy while he was behind bars. And now he's working for the Oregon Justice Resource Center. They're working on clemency for people, helping out with guys that were fighting fires on the outside, getting them clemency, but also people fighting fires on the inside, now fighting fires on the outside. You know, that's been like this weird thing where a lot of times people will learn some skill or do some service on the inside that then they're barred from when they get out,
you know?
So I'm excited to see what Adam Gregg brings and like probably talk a little bit about some of their initiatives at OJRC. And our shows, a lot of these shows will be like, this one's like us just kind of catching up, but we're going to have some things that we're going to talk about, stuff that's going on in the world that we want to bring out to the forefront and get into people's consciousness. And I'm probably going to even do that a little tonight because, you know, why not? Something's important. So let's put it out there, right?
I wonder if it was the anonymous guest, one of the anonymous guests Squeeze was referencing, but a guest that I'm thinking of who wants to participate anonymously is a peer of mine who from back home, which is super interesting. It was not until I was like doing the show and working in the context and I was like visiting and I ran into this friend. And it wasn't until like after I'd already been working in prisons that I realized that I did have this friend who spent a lot of his formative years in prison. And so I wanted to, in the kind of legacy or archive of Tin Can Phone, kind of unpack that experience a little bit, both, you know, my experience or my like a historical relation or historical contemporary relationship to the context of Tin Can Phone, and then also check in with my friend who I was able to touch base with this person in order to coordinate getting them paid, getting those finances out there to someone. But yeah, they have like, it's not a new story, but a nuanced story of struggling to keep a job. And they, when you hear them, are really calculated in the way that they're thinking about doing things and participating in life. And, you know, even without kind of a direct relationship to their past, because I think they were able to achieve expungement, it still remains hard when you have a huge chunk of your life missing and you're trying to just catch up with the pace of the contemporary world. So I'm super excited for that, to tie all those things together. It wasn't until we were airing the show that I even realized that that connection existed. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a call out here. Hopefully this is on the airwaves and then it just happens because it needs to. But Blue had the idea to invite DA Mike Schmidt to the show and see what that is. So we're hoping that the progressive stance of this DA means that there's not an issue with them showing up and having a conversation with us. I don't know that we have ulterior motives, but just is a great platform to try to.
Hey, look, it ain't that we got.
We are looking on this version of the show.
I'm just saying we ain't got motives, but you know, especially dealing for me and you, Mike, like we dealt with the change of prison superintendents who came in saying that they was going to do certain things and they agenda was a certain agenda.
Right.
And then we invited them on 10 Can Phone, even in there. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's like we never have a certain agenda. We just, if you're going to talk about the people and you're going to be for the people, there's nobody closer than 10 Can Phone and Gallery Blue. So we ain't going to drill you. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to drill you. We just want to know what your motive is. We want to know what your agenda is. We want to know what the steps that you're going to take to get there. And we're going to know, you know, we just finally want to know that it's somebody that's really about what they talking about and going to be for the people. Like, that's it. Just if you're going to say it, broadcasting and let us know that's what it is. That's all we ask for.
Okay. We want to be on the same team.
Facts.
We want to team up. Like, facts. Let's do this.
Get it together. Get it together, though, because we standing over here. So get it together. We're going to figure it out.
Well, Portland, you heard it first.
Mike Schmidt,
you're invited.
Pull up.
Super excited about it. super excited about this season, full of guests, super excited. I mean, for the audience, I feel like I'm deep in it, you know, talking to the folks, hearing stuff, experiencing it, moving money around. I'm in it. I'm here.
Yeah.
It's really funny when I talk about it, even out on dates. I'm like, yeah, I record the show in prison. And I like watch them kind of be like, are you in prison? And I just like never tell them. I just let them think what they're going to think. But for the listeners, there's like millions of voices or whatever. I don't know how many people are in jail, but there's too many or have been, or someone who's got something to say about it. So I'm excited for this season to kind of nuance our listeners' understanding of the situation through the many voices that are coming on the show this season.
Yeah.
And I will we'll put it out there. We're on the hook in a way to the second funder. They were like, we're thinking about giving you money, but what are you going to do with this? And fortunately, because of Kirk and the Metro Monies, and shout out Dana, who's the fiscal administrator of the Metro Placemaking Grant. Dana, we're funded. This is a funded season, guys. We got the headphones. We got the microphones. We got the Pro Zoom account, fingers crossed, and records the whole thing.
Pro Zoom.
And so they said, what are you doing your episodes on? And I was like, well, now that I paid the guys, we can do some administrating, because I'm not trying to ask y'all to be doing no administrating without paying you. So some of the concepts we came up with to talk about is coming home, looking at the struggle of finding
this
work.
This was us like brainstorming and coming forward with our ideas.
Yeah. You know, working as a team. And I prefaced the document for the readers saying both that I needed to pay the guys and also that the administrative structure of Tin Can Phone, which I think makes it an even more fundable project, is that like the design of it is there's skills to learn by helping to run the show. So everyone's kind of working as a team to pull these things together. Blue's totally on that. Coming home, looking at the struggle of finding work, navigating challenges, and battling demons. This was your idea. What do you want to?
I think that was kind of a collab.
With
Queez. Like,
yeah.
I think we kind of like talked about like battling demons and like what those scars are. Like one of the things you said, and I know it's a part of it, is like that missing block, like in terms of like somebody getting a job.
Sure.
But it's not just a missing block. That's life. You know, there's stuff happening. It's not like an intermission. It's actually the life you're living, and it's full of all sorts of things. Some things are good and most things are tough, and you find your way through, and that's a part of it. So yeah, like I think when we kind of paired up some of these topics with our guests, I was thinking about like what's going on for my buddy, what's going on for my friend who everything has not been smooth sailing. And I think people, the real reason why we're doing this show, I think, is to get our voices out and also let people hear that perspective, you know, and listen and know that there's like people going through things, and the experience of our lives carries with it, you know,
a lot. It's so real. Like lately, them demons have been really knocking at my door myself, you know, and it could come from anything. Like it could come from anything. Like that's for us to learn and identify with what traumas and what, you know, is causing things for us to see and react to things a certain way. But ultimately, like, I just feel like nobody really talks about the importance of the time that when you spend a lot of time in prison, bro, like you mentally go through a lot of different things, like abandonment, like you just be, you know, like when you in there, sometimes that's when people is at their best, right? A lot of people is at their best when they're in prison. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they're clean, they're this, they're that, they're that. For whatever reason, that's when they're at their best. So then when you come home and you're not celebrated as you would be in there, you got to think, when dudes come through that prison gate, it's like, oh, bro, you back? What's up? T-Bow's at the table and this and that, and we miss you. But then when you go home, it's like, oh, are you going to mess up again? Is this going to be your next? So we got to understand that from that very moment. That's why season one, we talked about the last 30 days in, right? And we never talked about the pressure that the ones that's the closest to us actually put on us. You know what I'm saying? So when we come home, bro, it's so much pressure. And it's like, it's so easy to go back to what you know. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about this. If prison was when you was at your best, when you're down and you're out and you're and you feel like, you know, and you relapsing, the thing you think about is when you're at your best, right? And that's in prison. So this is where the mindset of a repeat offender comes from. This is the trauma of in the thought process of a repeat offender. Fuck it. I'm not going to do nothing that's going to get me 5 years, but I'll go sit down for 2 years or 18 months. I could do a theft and go for 18 months or two. And not necessarily saying I'm going to just line up to go to jail, but in our mind, you know, we try to figure out, I got to get back to where I was at my best, where I could be clean. And that's jail. So subconsciously, we would do some shit to get us sent to jail.
Yeah.
And that's the pressure. So this is just one demon. This is just, that's just one demon, the feeling of acceptance. You got to think about this, right? Working a job. Everybody says when you're in prison, job, 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 job. Job is going to fix everything. But no, because that's just another, I got to get up. I got to go to work. I got to be under the control of a boss. Like we had to change. We have to change the CD, right? When you're like, I experienced my boss yelling at me. Like, man, what are you doing? Hold up. Like, bro, hold up. Like, I'm not like, hold on. My, like, I'm not him. Like, I really, you know what I'm saying? But again, he's not, that's it's a, I'm his employee. He need me to do my job. But I can't, a lot of us can't change that CD. We still got the yard. That's why I say some of our people is walking the yard on the streets. You know what I'm saying? You on the yard free. It's free, but not free. That's what I meant. You know, I made a post the other day, how you feeling mentally? Free, but not free. And I'm identifying with, you know, the Jim Crow and when they freed our people, but they was never free because we don't get equipped with the tools to make it in society. It's like you go through prison, you get beat the fuck up, and you just get ran through the mud, then you get put back out there, and it's like, huh, make it work, make it happen. But then you got a baby mama and a daughter, and then you got a baby mama and a son, and then you got mama, and then you got, this is one person who's, you know, you demons, you feel me? And it all relates back to comfortability. Where's your comfortability? With whatever drug that you decide to indulge in. That's usually the comfortability that we find. That what I'm thinking about now is just breaking that cycle. You know what I'm saying? We have to find a thing that is the difference. And it's hard when your friends are sometimes your worst enemies, because your friend, a quotation mark friend, is going to be the one that's like, well, fuck it, bro, let's just go to the bar. Like, you got so much on your mind, let's just go to the bar. Simple. For the friend who could just go to the bar and then go home to his family. Not so simple for the motherfucker who been dealing with addiction for the last 10 years. And your friend going to give you the sack thinking that he's just looking out for you. So we got to be careful with what we allow from our friends. You know what I'm saying? And we got to be careful with the word friend. Like, we got to be careful with the word friend, because what's good and a good deed to them could potentially like ruin us. And we in such a vulnerable and sensitive state of mind when we come home from prison that, you know, we could be triggered by anything. For me, it's like I'm dealing with anger right now, and I gotta like pick and choose what like toxic traits and what traumas I gotta choose them, because I can't work on them all at once. Like, so right now I'm dealing with anger. My temper is so short and I really don't know why, but like, you know,
well, you know, one thing that's been missing from your life is tin can phone.
Thanks. And this is, I'm happy now.
You needed the tin can phone. So as you all can tell, the coming home episode will be rich. Queez is ready for it. Queez is ready to come home.
And we got my boy. Ain't that Jess episode?
I think so. That's the plan. That's what we're going to have to do a little, but it's cemented in. They heard it first.
It's ready.
It's all ready.
And he said yes.
Yeah, we saw him recently. But you know what's funny is I was pointing, when I said that was a Blue's thing, to the to episode 2. And I was like, Blue, you did this. Who do people see? Not just one man. That was your idea.
Yeah, but it was.
I know. That's again, what I thought you were talking about.
No. I was talking about just like, because Queez had mentioned sort of about demons and like fighting against some of those things that are like become patterns or things you didn't even realize. Like, well, why aren't you answering me right away? Well, it's because I used to have to really think about how I answered somebody, because if I didn't answer somebody right, who knows what's going to go down?
Sure.
And people want answers quick. Let's give them answers quick. And it's like, well, so like there's these things that you're not even understanding where they come from. And like, that's like maybe smart on some level and also can like affect relationships. Like you have to figure out like how to like move through or incorporate them into your lives. So this one with not just one man is like, that's when I think of Queez, that's one of the first things I think about. And I think about this like idea of that multi-dimension that we are not just one thing, that we will be, I don't know, more complex. And I wanted to bring that out because I thought it's a beautiful sort of way of looking at life and people and stigma and acceptance. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that back into the forefront again.
And yeah, also thinking about, I think that title came from the piece that I drew of Queez that's in Gallery Blue right now, right?
Come on.
Things, you got the meta, but the media empire.
Should we say what Gallery Blue is for our listeners?
Sure, hit it, baby.
Well, Michael and I, master artist Michael Bernard Stevenson Jr. and myself, we were awarded in 2020 a $17,000 grant from RAC, the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and we were
shout out RAC.
We actually applied to do a painting on the outside. And I'll do the quick version to do a painting on the outside of the parole and probation office, which we thought was a little ironic, but thought it'd be kind of cool as well. And they came back to us and asked us to instead put some art on the inside. So we tried to take over as many walls in that place as we could and use a lot of that money to pay artists, currently and formerly incarcerated artists, to make new work. And so right now in the East office, we have a bunch of work. We have like 13 works by currently and formerly incarcerated people, and there's about 10 by me and Michael.
We got a Jet Set, we got a Kirk Charlton in there, we got a Alan Reggie King,
and we got a lot of guys.
So hopefully that will have there's an interview out there.
Yeah,
I got a question.
Yeah, what's your question?
Blue, what is your mindset? And what is your feelings, and what is some of the feelings of the guys going back and actually doing art in the parole building?
Oh man, like it was like at first I thought it was a joke when somebody sent me, you should do this mural on the outside, and I thought, but wouldn't that be funny if I did? And then I thought, who would I be doing it for? And I thought, man, everybody who goes by that building would see this thing that I've created, and mm-hmm. maybe it's going to actually change their mindset or like connect with people, because that's what my art is about, right? Like mm-hmm. a lot of times, like putting something positive out there or something that connects with somebody. And then when we started to come up with what we're going to put on the inside, every piece in there is either to help lift up somebody else's art who's doing it on the inside in these frames that we made from like beaten up used wood from this church that was torn down on MLK, and the whole idea was like, it's been through some stuff, but it's still undeniably beautiful. And then the stuff I did was about like recognizing that there is like this larger plan in our lives. And also that no matter what adversity we go through, like we are intact, we are whole, we are not mm-hmm. broken, we are okay. And things can look like we're broken, it can feel like we're broken, but we're not. And so the mm-hmm. art that I put in there with Michael's help was about like, first affecting the guys walking through the halls that had a warm blue, and that's why we called it Gallery Blue, and they got to see that, and maybe it resonated on some level and maybe changed that day that was not a good day because they're mm-hmm. down there at that office. And each one of those pieces had wrongfully incarcerated people's words from books pasted into them, so right in there. So it was also kind of like subversive, and that was the other idea, is like, let's put some real stuff in here, some layers, something that's important, and not to be just like, say, oh, it's just like this weird exception, but that actually the system is doing this all the time. I mean, the stories are too plentiful. There's too many stories about it. And those are just the stories that you hear, you know? Thanks. I mean, this thing that I'm working on right now, just to change the subject for 1 second, is that you can, on Still in Prison, .org, you can send letters to all the legislators about Senate Bill 1511, which is going to be on 1511 vacates all the wrongfully non-unanimous jury convicted people in Oregon mm-hmm. that know about it. So all the people that are still in prison with non-unanimous juries or who are convicted by non-unanimous juries and are on parole, will have their sentence vacated, and the district attorney can decide whether they're going to retry them, let them go, or make a deal. So there's about 300 people, but you know, this thing, when you said something about like enslaved and slavery, it's like, mm-hmm. this thing was designed to re-enslave mm-hmm. people. And the first time it happened, to re-enslave Black people in Louisiana. And then in Oregon, to silence the minority vote. Like, this mm-hmm. stuff comes from racism. Everybody knows it. There's probably so many people who will never get justice that had non-unanimous juries, but it's time to do this. You can go on stillinprison.org, and it's super easy. You can just click a button and send a letter to all of your legislators to tell them to vote yes on this bill. It's the right thing to do, and it's important. So I just wanted to take a little time to plug that real quick.
Yeah, and hopefully this season being more temporally in sync. We're making the recordings, we're getting it out into the world. We're excited to tackle more contemporary issues. And I just want to run through some of the other things we've got. Working for yourself, which we might even talk a little bit about soon. Stressors of living out. The psyche of the repeat offender, which Quiz was talking on earlier. Parenting from behind the walls. I'm thinking a lot about the school to prison pipeline, and I'm trying to create a prison to school pipeline. More on that later.
Yes.
All right. On the yard in the free world. And Quiz was talking about that earlier. The institutional mindset when you're outside. And then things as simple as relationships and holidays. They get a lot more complex in this context. And maybe we'll be talking about that insularly or with guests. And there's also a very exciting, which we will have the first, maybe insert intro music here, moment.
Did that time and I bounced back. Had us in the beanies, now snap back. Boys in blue trying to snap back. Trying to make sure that my guys never go back.
Where Quiz has a segment that he's going to be doing on every episode of season two. Quiz, help birth this new segment. What are we, what's going on here? For anyone who's on the video, I love that it looks like Quiz is riding a horse. He's just like riding a horse on this. I love it.
Hey, we rocking, man.
Yeah.
I should have stayed away from them Broadway girls. Hey, nah, but I feel it's really important. You know, anybody that know me know, man, I'm a soldier of change, man. I'm a soldier of growth. And really, again, RIP my brother Ben, because it's because of him that I even recognize some of those things in myself. So this segment, I feel it's important. Like, I was really thinking of, like, this is going to be the book. This is, I got to put this out, which I still will, just, you know, different things. But trauma almost won. You know what I'm saying? It's something that I say every day. It's something I remind myself of. I got the sticky notes up. And it's like, I have to remind myself that some of the actions I'm committing, some of the feelings I'm feeling, like, it's the trauma. Like, you can't say it enough, because no matter how many people's pushing it, I still feel that here in the streets, like, my inner circle, people I'm talking to ain't hearing about it. And it's like, it's messed up, because not only are they not hearing about it, they're not interested in it. Like, you can't come to the youth, or you can't come to these guys and be like, you need to heal. You need to really think about, you know, when your mom dropped you on your head, when you, like, they not having that, you know, like they are influenced by rappers, and they're influenced by the internet. And it's hard work, like, to be shined by the people that's close to you for trying to grow. You know what I'm saying? You lose relationships, like, you lose people. But trauma almost won the segment. We're going to, I have, you know, just different things that I live by, different quotes that I live by, different sayings that I've grown to live by from all different sources and all over the world. The crazy part is, if you know me, you know my story. I'm a child of the system, from foster care all the way to prison. There's nowhere else that I could go in the system. that's you know, the whole chain. But in these jails and in these lockups, I met some of the most wise people, and the people that I have met, it's their words that I live by. It's their words that, you know, we would discuss in Trauma Almost One. My brother Michael, my brother Blue would chime in what they think some of these sayings is and what it means to them. And then, you know, where I got it from, or what I was going through in my life at that time. But the new segment, Misfit Adi, 10 Can Phone, Trauma Almost Won.
I love it.
That's beautiful, man.
I'm excited for it. Yeah. It's interesting. There's many Quizisms that you often speak in analogy, and so do I. So they're distillations that are easy for me to tap into. But I also, I think before, and it was Queez was playing a new track that they had going on where they use an interview from the very original recordings that we did. And that was a major experience for me because that process, because I was starting to get this distillation of wisdom, like straight from the source. And we're actually still working on trying to push, get that going, which also if with those second monies come in, we have to liquidate our first monies to get them away from the bag loss situation. But if that second money's come in, we're going to get this book published this season.
Yes, yes.
So things are all coming up and coming together. Well, that's, you know, the hype for season two. Before we get out of here, we should check in with everyone in new life circumstances. I know, I don't know how you want to hold that, Blue. We're in a place or something. What do you want to say about what's happening over here with you?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, some of this is like, always we like share from the space that feels like the most comfortable and like what feels like we can like put out there into the world and what we will be received and how we will be received for me. And I don't know if that's for Queez at all, but I know that we've had past guys on Tin Can Phone that aren't with us right now that have that very same thing at play in their lives. You know, it's like, how do I share my voice? And also like, how do I trust the people on the other end of this microphone to hear me, and what will they hear and who will they hear? And so, you know, I'm just like batting around, just like continuing to navigate this world. I'm an artist. I like to just like figure out like what the next step is, walk through doors. I've had some really cool opportunities that are happening right now. And I'm just waiting for them to kind of come fully to fruition, working with other artists, working with a business partner on building a new business, you know, just like trying to do something more than just like being present in the moment, which is a part of it for me. Like, I like to be like free from like projecting out into the future and a really long distance. You know, we just call it future tripping. You know, I like that I was able to free myself from that, but it can also lead you to not planning at all. Right. And so now I want to have kind of like a mixture of those two things where I'm still present with people, present with my art in the moment, but I'm also looking towards some bigger things that I can try, that I can do with other people, that I can collaborate and build something. And that's what I'm working on right now, is building something a little bit bigger. And event space, Queez, event space and like crazy, like rads, just sort of collaborative community of like humans that are there to do stuff together and like feed off each other's creativity and support each other in their sort of like endeavors outside of the normal context of, I'm going to go work for a boss and he's going to tell me what to do and I'm going to hate it, you know, I'm going to do something different. So that's what I'm working on.
Living that dream.
Yes.
And Queez, you've got bountiful surprise news for the listeners. What's going on in your life? You're like, what? Yeah. Am I the father?
Oh, I thought we knew already. Yeah, man, my son. Yeah, my son here, man. My mijo is here, man. So I'm really engaged. Like, baby just came and got him right now. I was going to do the episode with him, but he was tripping, and so she came and got him. But that's really like, that's what it is for me. I'm at work and I'm at the house with my son. Like, I rearranged what happiness meant to me. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, to leave y'all episode one, season two, I always say, don't let your past play you out of position. Don't let your past and reputation play you out of position, right? It be times where I'm like, bro, I don't want to just go straight to the house and be at home. Like, I'm trying to go, you feel me, figure something out and go do what I need to go do. But ultimately, that's me trying to go back to 2006 and 2007 and 2000 and whenever we was hanging out, like Jamari need me. You know what I'm saying? I got to get to the house and be a dad. So, like, that's really what it is for me. It's been a journey. Y'all know, like, you know, him being a preemie strong, you know what I'm saying? He preemie strong. All his tests is coming up and he's, like, you know, he's where he's supposed to be mentally. He's, you know, just physically, he's a little behind. He's a little smaller, but mentally, he's right where he's supposed to be in his development. So to put somebody before me and, like, really understand that my energy, and this is why trauma almost won. Like, this is why facing your identifying and conquering your trauma, like my son really could fail due to me not conquering that. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when I'm holding them and I feel a certain way, I be having to tell baby, like, hey, you got to take them. No, because I'm not really feeling it. This could come from, you know, the depression, anxiety. It's a whole bunch of different mental health situations that I'm dealing with personally. You know what I'm saying? And I know that if I allow those energies to go into him, or if I allow those things to, I have to rearrange happiness. I have to rearrange success. Like for me, success is him knowing that at 4 o'clock, 4:30, he know I'm coming through the door. He be hella happy. He kicking his feet. He smiling. He know daddy gonna be there. So for me, success is him knowing I'm coming. He ain't got to guess. He ain't got to worry. He ain't got to think about it. He know daddy gonna be here. You know what I'm saying? I feed my son at 3-4 in the morning when he wake up. He know. It ain't no question. When he wake up, he know it's me. He looking at me. He smiling. We playing, you know, and it's success. So it's not money. It's not people over profit, and this to piggyback off of Blue. People over profit. People run businesses. Invest in your people and your business will grow. Don't invest in the business thinking that the people, because you're going to run through different people. Invest in your people, and it's going to be multiple businesses. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't remember anything else, remember that. People over profit. It's time for us to start investing in our people. So let's stop worrying. Like, we can't wait for the world to change. We have to change in order for the world to change, because we're failing. We're failing our universe. FYI.
There are.
FYI, we're failing our universe. So, like, let's clean this shit up, recycle. Like, you know what we need to do. That's it for me, though. Just learning to be better. I'm learning to be a better me and deal with these traumas.
Man, I'm loving that. And as we, in the recording of this episode, was like a rush to do it in order not to talk at all prior, because all of this is fresh news to each of us from the other person. So I'm really glad to hear that, yeah, you're doing well. In fact, this is the longest conversation we've had since you're now a father. So it's nice in general for us all to be able to get together, because that's been disparate. You have a lot.
One more thing too. I've been out 2 years, gang. This is the longest I have ever been out, like 2 years. This is the longest I have ever been out. No violations, no none of that shit, bro. So yeah, we celebrating that two years free, and awesome. That's big. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's big. Season two, set goals.
That's perfect timing, man. We could do a season per year of you out. and it's interesting. Yeah, you were inside. You remain on the show. We started this project while you were inside. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking something else. 2 years out, when you were talking about working and coming home to your son, you in the first season talk about, you know, working or maybe even when you were inside, you were just mm-hmm. really ready to get a job mm-hmm. and to be consistent in your work and having that consistency, because you were already a first-time father when you were on
season one.
And it wasn't until you got out that I think you even met your daughter for the first time. So, you know, we are getting some interesting benchmarks here in the show. Yeah. And again, it's exciting for me to be participant, witness, administrator, supporter, all of the above, you know, trying to do the work that is invisible, that can help put money into the pocket, into the mouth of the baby. So exciting about that. I was thinking also on some of our maybe unreleased episodes or something, we could start a Patreon and get a paywall going, mm-hmm. you know, put some coins in this tin can phone.
Hey, because this shit get realer. Hey, this shit get realer, so yeah.
So let's get a paywall. We're hoping for that second grant. We can pay a marketing person. If we haven't already done this and you're listening, we need you. But yeah, guys, I'm doing well as a kind of like a, hey, how you doing to you guys? I invoked the tin can phone name on KBOO when King School was trying to get taken over by PPS, because I-5 was expanding and pushing Harriet Tubman's middle school out of the way in the historical albina black district of Portland. And they were like, well, what if we take this old middle school and put it instead of this elementary school, Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School, why don't we just replace it, kick them out? And we were like, we're not having it. So there was a protest. I was at the protest. I was working with the kids to make signs. and the protest signs. Yes. And I recorded their voices shouting, "We will not." And then I did a recording with the PTA president and vice president, Tiffany and Tyler, on KBOO. And I was like, this is a special report from Tin Can Phone, because we were trying to figure out this to school pipeline using the prison platform to help the school. That's what we're doing over here. So, you know, I invoked the Tin Can Phone name on the KBOO airwaves on MLK Day, not, you know, 1 month ago, and had a meeting with KBOO, caught them up on what we've been up to. And I didn't even know this, but they are hype about Tin Can Phone over there.
Hey,
over
man,
the
y'all area. Tap in, man. KBOO Radio.
On
man.
The KBOO. We got the season two. We are supported. We're supported with the KBOO. We're supported with the Metro. We got Kirk Rea helping us out over here. And we have this mystery theoretical funder, fingers crossed. So been hustling on all these different things, spending time working in schools. I'm working on a presentation coming up, which will have happened by the time this is being heard. But specifically thinking about dismay. Let me even just pull it up so I don't even forget it. Dismay, exhaustion, rest, action, repeat. It is the musings of an artist trying to survive and thrive in the 21st century, navigating all the various terrible horrors of the 21st century, which, you know, we all made it. We survived a brush with death.
Yeah.
Listeners and participants. And, you know, Queez got COVID in the pre-vaccine era. Man. So, you know, we made it.
I'm vaccinated too.
I love it. You were then, or it was pre-vaccinated, right?
Yeah, it was pre, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you're vaccinated now. We survived. We got the show going. We're making it. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that I've been, I'm trying to, right now, I cut sugar 2 days ago and cutting the carbs. I got steak marinating at home right now. I'm trying to eat high protein, get the vegetables. I've been bicycling. I've been trying to rest.
All right.
I'm in the rest phase. I went into action for the kids, and then so they're not doing it. The protests got them.
Come
they
on.
Stopped the thing. The expansion of the highways all messed up. And they might not do it. And they're like, wait a minute, the environment. So, you know, Tin Can Phone did it. No, but there was a lot of people organizing for that. But also been trying to like watch for my hypertension. I was looking at a family history, health history, and man, it's not, you know, people get sick and die. And so we're fighting the system by staying healthy and being good.
Shouts out to Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School or elementary.
Elementary.
Elementary. Hey, salute y'all. Y'all big pressure. You know what I'm saying? Y'all stood up. Y'all made y'all signs. Y'all voices was heard. Hey, Tin Can Phone was just a vessel, and this is just the beginning. Listen, Martin Luther King Elementary in Portland, Oregon, man. Y'all special, man. Listen, hey, big pressure. Big pressure. Y'all stick together. Remember, hey, unity is everything. As long as we got the numbers and we unify, we can't be, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary, man. Shouts out.
Yeah, it's no coincidence that they have like education about the Black Panthers at that school.
Come on.
From our buddy right here.
Come on.
From Kent
Ford
and the Fred Hampton summer camp. Those kids are engaged, and it's like sometimes you get to see the fruit, sometimes you don't.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I guess just now we got to see the fruit. Kids learn about like standing up and putting their fist up and saying we ain't gonna have it. And this was one of those times maybe you get to see a little bit of that fruit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't do everything. There were so many moving hands, but Kent, he was there and he was like, "Michael, you did it." I was like, "Thanks, Kent. I love this. And everyone, but Kent."
That's important though. Huh? That's important though, because you got to think about this. I don't know if everybody knows this, and I'm glad this is going to be on KBOO. Listen, in the books, the history books, bro, the way that they're explaining Christopher Columbus getting the land is ridiculous. Like, they're changing the way that it was already a lie. History, we already know, was already a lie, right? But it was a lady, and I think she was in Detroit. She was arguing against the school board because the books literally said that the Native Americans gave the nice Caucasian man their land because they taught them how to trade and fish or whatever they, you know? So it's like, not only are they lying, they are just blatantly like, you know, like, it's like, so for you to be there at that school and doing the work you do and teaching and educating, like, it's so, 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 so important, because a lot of us is so quick to say, we're going to take our kids to school, preschool, daycare. Like, we so quick to just take them to school. And essentially what that does is allow somebody else to raise them. Mm-hmm. In a sense of educational wise, though. You know what I'm saying? Because school is something that don't stop. Like, you keep going. But, like, if you already young and they saying that they gave the nice man the... Like, it's so far wild that what they're trying to teach our kids. And the thing that me and my partner talked about with our son in holidays, since so many holidays are man-made, we're not going to take away the holidays from him. Like, just say 4th of July, right? We're going to do the fireworks. We will allow the fireworks. But my son will know this is not our independence. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what they're celebrating, son, but this is not our independence, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't want to take away holidays. Yeah. I don't want to take away Christmas from my son, but he's going to know. He's going to know what comes with this, and it ain't going to be no lying or tricking or you think that this is... No, he's going to know. And then when he's old enough, he could decide if he want to keep celebrating these holidays or not. But it's important that we educate, though. It's important that we educate ourselves to be able to educate Michael. It's so important what you do, bro. And I'm appreciative that you stand so strong with the kids. Like, man, a lot of these parents don't know what their kids is being told. A lot of these parents don't know. Like, they don't know. They just, as long as your kids is safe, as long as your kids ain't coming home with bruises and scratches, and as long as your kids is safe, they not really engaged in what's actually being embedded in their kids' brain until they kids say some wild shit that just surprise them one day at dinner. You know, so I just want to salute you and thank you, bro, for as long as I've known you, you've been working with them kids and you've been showing me amazing things that them kids has been doing. And you may be changing the lives or guiding the lives of a lot of kids that may go down the path that, you know, the ones like me took, because we didn't have something to dive into. We didn't have somebody that's like, you know, the educators in group. When you group up and you got a group of kids doing something, that's the same thing as a gang. You feel me? A group of people getting together for a mission. So when you teach the right way that young, bro, like, you a fucking superhero, bro. And I just want to let you know on the airways that you a fucking superhero.
It's team effort, baby. And I think even that sentiment, while you were saying that, I was thinking that's Tin Can Phone too. So Prison to School Pipeline, we're out here advocating for those kids. And that was a perfect, you know, we're now, we got a wrap. They're in Queez's ear, but I think that was a good, you know, that's what you can also expect, you know, from Tin Can Phone in context, you know, with these same kind of lessons and thing, or different lessons, different context, same wholesome educational experience. Blue, you got any final thoughts for us before we...
Man, I'm just glad we're back. I'm glad we're talking. So many things to highlight, and every one of these things takes me down a trail of thought about all the different things that are going on in our lives, the things we're working on, the things that haven't been said on radio. So just looking forward to the season and getting those guests on here and breaking it down.
K-Boo Radio, 10 Can Phone, Season 2. We got Blue Gallery, you got Michael, Stephen, Bernard Jr., the fucking artist, you got Misfit Audi, 10 Can Phone. We back for Season 2, motherfuckers.
Beautiful.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Queez.
You are listening to the Tin Can Phone Podcast, where you can hear about the influence incarceration has straight from the source. We tell the story from the inside out. So make sure to check us out on KBOO Community Radio every first Tuesday at 10 a.m. You can also check us out on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere you catch your podcasts. And make sure to give us a follow over at tincanphonepodcast.com. See you next time.